We're in the first chapter, Gospel of John. The very next, not the very next verse, but a few verses down, we read that Jesus is the light. And most of you who have any church background know that Jesus is the light of the world. John chapter 8, verse 12 tells us that Jesus is the light. He brought light of God's truth to humanity. But that's not what I'm interested in. I want to go to the very next title. Third title listed by John in the gospel is the title Lamb. We find it in verse number 29 and then again in verse number 36. John refers to Jesus as the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. So far, we've got the identity right. Jesus is the Lamb. And John is the one to make that identification. In fact, there's only one other book in the New Testament that mentions Jesus as the Lamb of God. And it's another book written by John. The very last book of your Bible, Revelation, mentions Jesus as the Lamb 27 times. So in John's mind, man, for you to get the idea that Jesus is the Lamb, I mean, that's a big deal. He introduced the topic, and the last book in the Bible emphasizes the topic. Jesus is the Lamb. So what? We know what he is. We know who the Lamb is, but we really haven't identified why John wants you to think of Jesus as the Lamb. So for that, we need to move on to the second inquiry we'd like to make, and that is the importance of this figure we call the Lamb. We know the identity, it's Jesus, the importance. For millennia, before Jesus ever appeared, sheep were a big deal in the Middle East for the Jews and other Middle Eastern cultures. They had lambs everywhere. That wasn't the only domesticated animal they have. We read in the Bible that the Jews had goats and donkeys and oxen. But when it came to animals, almost every family had a lamb. Probably a couple. They stalled lambs in their home the way we stall cars in our garage. All right? Lambs were a big deal to the Jews. And there's a reason for that. When you look back at their culture, they depended on the lamb in order to sustain life. So what good is a lamb? Well, a lamb is good, number one, for clothing. We know that you can shear a sheep and get wool. And they could take the wool and they could spin it into thread and make garments for their family. So if they wanted clothing for their family, they needed a lamb. Lambs work a lot better for this than goats, incidentally. You can have a goat-haired garment, but it's better to wear wool than goat, all right? So important for clothing. But that wasn't the only thing. A lamb also provided something else for the family, and that was milk and meat. And what the family could not consume in the way of food could be sold to other families for a livelihood. So I want you to understand that part of their culture, part of the way the Jews thought, and most of the Bible was written, first of all, to the Jews, they're thinking of a lamb in terms of clothing, and they're thinking of a lamb in terms of food and livelihood. Now, these two practical benefits of the lamb are absolutely important for us today because they highlight for us two spiritual benefits of God's lamb. Now, what are they? Well, God's lamb, Jesus, provides covering for sin. God's lamb provides covering for sin. You know, every one of us came into the world in need of clothes. Not because we were born naked, but because we were born sinners. This is a common problem to all of humanity. All of us struggle at times, saying the right thing at the right time, controlling our temper, wanting to shade the truth in our favor, even if it might cheat someone else out of time or money. We all have a disposition to do our own thing. But I think most of you are good people. Most of you are smiling at me, and so far none of you have threatened my life today, and I'm grateful for that. So I'm going to assume today that I'm dealing with a room full of good people, all right? That might be too big of an assumption, but I'm going to assume that for the sake of argument, okay? Let's say that you are a good person and that you only make three mistakes a day, three sins a day. That's all you do, all right? Three sins. Maybe you say a bad word, some word you shouldn't have said. was that French just kind of popped out there before you realized it, okay? And then maybe you said, I had a bad thought. You know, if she did that, man, she doesn't know what's coming her way. All right? Ooh, ouch. All right? And then maybe you do one bad thing. You don't complete an assignment or a job that your supervisor asked you to, or you did something behind your wife's back, but one bad word, one bad thought, one bad deed. You're a good person. All right, let's do a little math today, okay? Can we do that? Three sins a day, 365 days a year, that comes out to 1,095 sins a year. All right? 1,095 sins times 70 years, and I hope you live to be that long and more. That's over 70,000 sins in your lifetime. Now, if sins were treated like calories, we would all be way overweight. Every person in this room. And some of us think that if I could just exercise some more, I can shed the pounds. And we spend our whole life working for it. If I'll be better tomorrow, I won't lie to her tomorrow. I will do right. And then we find out the next day, we say the bad word again. We have the bad thought again. We do the bad deed again. And we cannot seem to stop accumulating sinful calories. Now, you know what we do when we're getting a little bit overweight? We go shopping. That's right. I'll just change my clothes and I'll get a little bit bigger size. And that way it won't be so obvious, all right, that I'm gaining pounds. And some of us might think, you know, that I could do that with God. I could just change my garments and I'll be okay. But really, sin puts us in a bind. All of us are in a bind. How can I shed these sins? How can I? Well, some of us are thinking, well, just a new set of clothes and I'll be good to go. But to help you to see the futility of that, I want to take you back and show you two people that you probably well know. Their names are Adam and Eve. Even if you've never been to church before, and I bet most of you have, you've heard about Adam and Eve, the first two created people on the planet. All right? While they live, it isn't very much longer after God creates them that they have a run-in with a tree that God said was off limits. And the Bible tells us that they disobeyed and took of the fruit. And the immediate consequence of them taking of the fruit is what? In the scripture, you'll find they realized that they were... Oh, this is church. All right? Watch it. All right? And so they were uncomfortable. Now, I always have found this curious. They're the only two people on the planet at the time, and they're embarrassed. Really? Really? Really, it's the truth. Because, and this is the reason, immediately because they sinned, they had created shameful offense against God, and they felt the shame of that. So they weren't hiding from other people. They were hiding from God. Some of us spend our whole life doing that. I know I mess up, you know, but nobody's perfect, you know. And if I can just stay out of church with some old Baptist preacher preaching on sin, I'm okay. And we feel like we can run and we can hide. And we can just avoid the sin issue. But running and hiding doesn't shed the calories. It doesn't shed the weight of sin. We carry it with us our whole life. Well, here's Adam and Eve. What do they try to do immediately to cover their shame? Fig leaves. I don't know if they ever had lessons in sewing. I've had very few. But, you know, trying to weave leaves together, that doesn't go far. And God looks at their clothing and he says it's in adequate, no good. And the Bible says that God made them, in verse 21 of Genesis 3, Adam and his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothed them. It's a beautiful illustration of the fact that we try to cover our sin in our own way. We sew our own fig leaves through life. We go down to Kohl's and we buy a new set of clothes, and it doesn't do a thing. You need God to clothe you the way he did Adam and Eve. Well, you say, how does he do that? How does God cover sin? How does he clothe us? And the Bible teaches us that all of us need new garments. Now, I'm not talking about a new set of clothes at Kohl's or some other department store. I'm talking about the fact that everyone needs to be clothed with the garments of salvation. These are the only clothes God accepts if you want to get into His presence. The Bible talks about this in the book of Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah. We quoted from him earlier in the program. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for He hath clothed me with what? You say it. The garments of salvation. I need new clothes. I need the garments that God accepts. I do not want to stand before Him as a naked sinner. So how do I do that? I go to Him now and say, I'd like a wardrobe change. I want the clothing that God provides. And with that lamb that He's already shed, He can provide you covering for your sin in this life and in the life which is to come. Are you certain that these clothes cover your life? But remember, I told you there were two spiritual benefits that correspond to the lamb. One is the covering of sin, but the second is the conferring of life. From the lamb, food, milk, and meat, and a livelihood for the family. And so God's lamb provides life for the people who choose to follow the lamb. Now I bet many of you are thinking, you know, I don't know that I need a lamb to confer life today because I feel very much alive. And maybe you're in good health. You don't have so many calories. You've exercised well. You eat right. And you're doing well. So what do I need a lamb to give me life? Well, that's because we just don't know how close to death we really walk. Did you know, as of the first week of April this year, in the Grand Canyon, there have already been 3 deaths. 2 have fallen over the edge of the cliff to their destruction. Some of you are wise. You're thinking, yeah, you know what? I'm not going to the Grand Canyon. I'm just going to look at the pictures on Google and I'm fine. No canyon for me. That way I'll avoid the fate. But you know, if death doesn't meet you in the canyon, it'll meet you on the street. And if death doesn't meet you in the canyon, it might meet you on a hospital gurney or in your sleep at home. At some point, death will show up. And you need a lamb now to secure life for you. If you hope to conquer death, then you need the lamb, because He tackled death on our behalf. He faced it head on the cross, carried our sins into the grave, emerged 3 days later as the hero over death, and honestly, the hero of all time. There is no name any greater or any more blessed in all the earth than the name of Jesus Christ. He is life for those who believe. So one day, a doctor may stand at your bedside, and the doctor may be doing all he can, knowing that your hour is near, to make your time, the rest of the time you have, as comfortable as possible. He's giving you the drugs to ease the pain, to help you with the coming transition. And while he is, he may, in code language or medical jargon, mention these 3 letters to colleagues in the room. D-I-C. Some of you know the jargon because you're in the medical field. And those letters mean death is coming. You know, friends, it is coming for every person in the room. That's why you need to take the lamb who can give you life. Well, how do you get this life from this lamb? How can I procure this thing that I need so desperately so that I'm ready to meet God whenever that day were to come, when it does come? And the answer is God provides a wonderful invitation for you to take the lamb. Really, he offers you the lamb to cover your sins and to give you life. So this is how it works. You know, I think of all the pictures that God could have used. God could have chosen to make Jesus a lion and he could roar at you in your sleep to tell you you need Jesus. Time to come to the lamb. But it's very interesting that God chose to picture Jesus as a lamb. I think that's deliberate. God is not bullying you into his box. And he's not going to bully you into heaven. He's gently speaking to you right now. This is what you need. You don't have another plan in the face of death. You don't have any garments clothing you when it comes to covering your sin. And you don't have any plan to escape death and enter into eternal life. And he's whispering to you right now, gently in your ear. And he's saying, that's what you need. You need to take the lamb. So will you do that? My kids, they're growing so fast. I can't believe I'm dealing with teenagers already. And I was just contemplating this week that my youngest son's going to be a teenager in a couple of years. Then I'm going to have all teenagers. Is that a good thing?
Yes.
It used to be. A regular part of our family fun or entertainment was to visit zoos. And we've been to the Reed Park Zoo, and we've been to the Phoenix Zoo, and we've been to the Indianapolis Zoo, and we've been to zoos from between here and Indianapolis, all over the country. And one of the favorite things that my kids liked to do when they were little tykes was go to the petting zoo. Now, Reed Park doesn't have it, but I found it curious that when it came to going in and petting the deer and the goats and the sheep, my kids rushed in. I let my wife go in. I stayed on the outside. I don't like smelly pens. But that really demonstrates the choice that is before you. Are you going to stand on the outside and just kind of look in at Jesus today? It's Easter. Okay. You know, these Christian people, they get all excited. Jesus died on the cross, rose again the third day. All right, let's give them their day. Next. And move on. Or maybe this is the day when you push the gate open and you go in and you become a follower of the Lamb. I think this is what John was after in the first chapter of his gospel. Remember we started there? John said, he's the Lamb, takes away the sin of the world. The next verse appears with the Lamb is in chapter 1, verse 36. And looking upon Jesus as he walked, John the Baptist saith, behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. They did something. They just didn't look at him. They said, we're going after him. That's the invitation. That's our third inquiry today. God is inviting you. Go into Jesus. Don't stand on the outside. You know what you do at a petting zoo? What do you do at a petting zoo? You put your hands on the animals. Why? Because you're making a personal connection with that animal, that goat, that donkey, that deer, whatever. And God wants you to do the same thing in your life. He wants you to go in, stop being a spectator of Jesus and become a follower. Get in the pen, put your hands on Jesus, and make him your own. It is a personal, deliberate decision of your will. I will take Jesus. I will have him be my Savior. I will follow him wherever he leads. That's the invitation. And friend, that's your opportunity today to go inside with Jesus and follow the Lamb. The Bible says, and we're ready for the next slide, this is how you go inside and take the Lamb. John 6, verse 40, this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which sees the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. So, This verse is helpful. Some people see the Son, but some people never believe the Son. That's the personal connection. I am choosing to believe this Lamb can clothe me before God and give me life in God's presence forever. I am going to believe. Now, maybe you're here today because someone in your family drug you along. Oh, it's Easter, I'll go. Maybe a friend brought you. Maybe you got an invitation on your door. I don't know why you're here. Maybe you saw an advertisement on Facebook. I don't know. I'm glad you're here. Hope you've enjoyed the service and the program. But really, I want you to move beyond being a spectator today. I want you to push the gate open and become a follower of the Lamb. And you know what? That's exactly what God wants you to do. Because every one of us has an appointment. We don't know when it is. We're going to face God. We're going to die and pass from this life to the next. Might as well go over ready. Might as well go over prepared. Might as well go over following the Lamb. In a moment, I'm going to give you the opportunity to do that. Would you decide for Jesus today? It would change your life and your future forever. So in a moment, I'm going to give you the opportunity, right where you are, not to embarrass you, but for you to have a conversation with the God of heaven and tell Him you're taking the Lamb and that you will follow. And you can do that right where you are. Invite Jesus to be your Savior, to be the Lamb who covers your sins and gives you eternal life. You can do it today. I'll help you in just a moment. So God has a Lamb, and His name is? Jesus is His name. And God had something important to tell you about this Jesus. He can cover your sins and give you eternal life. The invitation is wide open for you. Will you go in and grab hold of the Lamb? Let me finish this way. In Tucson, we don't see much of sheep and lamb unless you live on a farm. But I bet everybody in Tucson has seen a lamb if they've ever been to a rodeo event, which takes place often this time of year. Because little tykes enter ages 4 to 7, they enter a competition with lambs. And what's it called? Mutton busting competition. And the kids, they lock on the best they can to a woolly old sheep, and they were flying out the gates. And when they do, I just look at the... I wonder in my mind when that happens, which of the two things inside the ring is more afraid at that time? Is it the lamb or is it the kid on the back? Because the lamb looks terrified as it's running through the ring, and the kid is just... But if they can hold on for about 6 seconds, they'll win the competition. However, most of them fall off before 2 seconds has passed. All right? Now, what does this have to do with Jesus the Lamb? Well, you know what? If they get a good grip on the Lamb, they can ride it safely and win the competition. And if you right now would think of Jesus as your Lamb and you'd grab hold of Him by faith, believe in Him today as your covering for sin and the only way into eternal life, if you grab Him, boy, He'd take you right through the ring, right through the rest of your life, safely into the presence of God forever. So maybe that's what you need to do today. Get into the Lamb. Get a hold of Him so that you can have what He offers every person. Would you come? Come to the Lamb. I'm going to give you an opportunity in just a moment. Let's pause for prayer.